This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, three stand out, which help support gastric health and offer digestive support: GI Guard AM, GI Guard PM, and Peppermint Oil GI. Numerous clinical studies have demonstrated that these products can help to support GI health and promote gastric comfort. They help maintain the integrity of the stomach lining and its proper immune responses to the typically harsh gastric environment. Their ingredients are backed by solid scientific data. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocol for life balance. That's drhoffman.com/protocol for life balance.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, on a busy health news day. We've got lots to share with you, and you can call us. 877-726-8255 is our number, and that's a number where you can leave a message 24/7, even when we're not live on the air, 877-726-8255. But during the program, you can come directly into the doctor's office and you can pose a question. We'll be hearing from some of you in just a few moments. We got lots to talk about this week. Israel discontinues fluoridation of tap water. Rush Limbaugh diagnosed with advanced lung cancer, and we'll find out what the prospects are for his survival and how he might be treated. 877-726-8255. And also answer your questions about the coronavirus. For example, can supplements from China transmit coronavirus? Answers to those and other questions in just a few moments, 877-726-8255. And let's bring you a timely update on the coronavirus. It's a good news, bad news scenario, because it's just been reported that China had its deadliest day for coronavirus yesterday, and a U.S. national became the first foreigner to die. It's also suspected that a Japanese national who resided in the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan has also died. The U.S. Embassy in Beijing confirmed that a 60-year-old American national had died on Thursday in Wuhan. And that individual was a Chinese-American, according to reports. China suffered its deadliest day Friday. 86 new deaths were reported, bringing the total up to 722, while the number of cases rose to 34,546, which now far surpasses the deadly SARS epidemic that so paralyzed the world in the early 2000s. And so this is a very, very big deal. And it's also, I really think it's vastly underreported, partially because of the fact that the Chinese, to some extent, are trying to minimize the extent of the epidemic to preserve its public image in the eyes of the world, and also not to sow panic among its inhabitants. And in fact, there's a big backlash going on in China, which was occasioned by the death of Dr. Li Wenliang, who died of coronavirus this week. And he was one of the first to warn of it before he was questioned by police and told to keep quiet. So on the one hand, the Chinese initially tried to suppress the extent and the potential danger of the epidemic in kind of a Chernobyl-like fashion. Those of you who saw the series Chernobyl on HBO, I recommend it very highly. It's a multi-part series. And the theme of the series is that in a totalitarian state, the bureaucrats tend to minimize disasters. And then when it becomes apparent that those disasters are out of control, they go in the opposite direction with all kinds of authoritarian measures, evacuating vast swaths of the population, pressing large numbers of army personnel and civilian workers into dangerous jobs in an effort to contain the damage. That's what happened with the Chernobyl. That's a little bit of what's happening with the coronavirus. This guy, Dr. Li Wenliang, is an ophthalmologist in China. He's an eye doctor. And initially, he started to see this, and he said, and he was like communicating with his colleagues online saying, this is very scary. We've got a full-fledged epidemic, a potential pandemic brewing. And the Chinese authorities, who monitor all communications in those countries, well, they came down hard on him. They apprehended him, and they made him recant and say that, no, things are under control, no big deal here, nothing to look at, folks, just move on. And ultimately, he was right. He was a whistleblower, but a whistleblower in the true sense, a guy who very courageously took a stand and ultimately paid a price. He died. Mostly a young guy in his 30s. In the wake of his death, the Chinese have kind of issued a 180. They have pledged a thorough investigation into the death of Dr. Wenliang. The doctor raised early alarms about a new respiratory virus because he is the focus of public anger that's building across the country over the government's mishandling of the coronavirus epidemic, initially suppressing information, the timely information that might have led to earlier lockdowns and quarantines that might have prevented its spread. So they say Dr. Li, who died Friday of the coronavirus, had been taken in by police shortly after he warned former classmates as early as December 30th about a new pathogen. And police then accused him of spreading rumors and forced him to write a statement, you know, that kind of re-education process where you issue a public statement under the gun. And the Chinese political culture is famous for doing that. All sorts of stuff going on. Chinese families are going online to search for experimental treatments that are being offered at extravagant prices. Bootleg antiviral drugs originally designed for AIDS, which don't necessarily work. There's no proof that they work against coronavirus. But in desperation, many Chinese families are trying to stockpile these medications so that if a family member comes down sick, they'll have it on hand. Cruise ships are being quarantined, three of them, with several passengers on board with confirmed coronavirus. They aren't letting people off until they show that they're clear of the coronavirus. It's hitting home. It's hitting the stock market. Interestingly, this morning I talked to a guy in the gym while I was working out, a guy that I usually talk to. And, you know, I know he's a professor of linguistics at NYU, New York University, here in New York City. And I said, how's it going? You back teaching after the holiday? And he said, no, he says, they're going to lay me off. And I said, what do you mean? He says, the course that I teach, linguistics, is a prerequisite for the language program of the Chinese who come over here to study. And they went home for the holidays, and now they can't come back. So he says, my classes are decimated. He says, you know, 19 out of 22 pupils in my class are Chinese nationals, and they're not letting them into the country. And so the economic consequences are not huge, or rippling through the economies of many countries in the major world. The good news, it seems to be contained. It's a big deal in China. It's hit some of the countries adjacent to China. Singapore, Japan have a couple dozen cases. But in Western Europe, Italy 3, England 3, Russia 2, France 6, it seems to be relatively contained. And congratulations go to the international health authorities who have been prepping for this. They are preppers in the true sense. And there's a vast, vast mechanism that seeks to contain these epidemics once they occur. And they're doing a pretty good job of it. They're really putting them to the test. But even though they haven't come up with a cure or a treatment, by public health measures, by tracing cases, by isolating people, by having hospital workers wear appropriate protective garb, they seem to be containing the epidemic in the West. So I don't have the big worries that this is going to explode in major metropolitan areas across the U.S. and Europe. I'm hoping that we may have reached a tipping point in terms of controlling this epidemic. And the Chinese, certainly, they're doing a lot to keep it under control. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255. We invite you to join the conversation on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine. Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman.
Decades ago, Dr. O'Hara developed a formula for optimal human health, a blend of superfoods and live bacteria, naturally fermented for 3 years, encapsulated to deliver prebiotics, probiotics, and most importantly, postbiotics to your digestive system, aiding digestion, increasing absorption of essential nutrients, supporting the immune system, and unleashing the healthier, happier you. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, 100% vegetarian, non-GMO, free of artificial additives, chemicals, preservatives, or colorings, dairy and gluten-free. Dr. O'Hara himself proclaimed in 1974, each capsule of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is filled with our passion and hope for bringing health and long life to all 7 billion people on Earth. And today, his legacy lives on, making Dr. O'Hara's probiotics a world leader in superior probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, available online and at natural health retailers nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255. Jot that number down. You can call us this hour or next, or you can call us 24/7. You can record a question, as did this caller. Let's hear from them.
Is there any connection between the Spanish flu and the coronavirus? I ask that out of curiosity. My grandfather had the Spanish flu. I guess it was in 1918. And I wonder if there's any immunity conferred. Probably not. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay. Great question. The Spanish flu, for those of you who are not students of history, was one of the most cataclysmic events, dwarfing even World War I in terms of its death toll. It killed anywhere from 5 to 10% of the world's population at that time, and it ravaged the entire world. And it was made worse by the fact that there were a lot of, especially men, moving around in troop ships who came down sick and then transmitted it across oceans. And it was different from what we're experiencing now in that it was an influenza, which is a different type of virus. Both are respiratory viruses. Coronavirus actually belongs to the same family that common cold belongs. So it's kind of transmitted in the same way. You can sneeze, you can cough, you can put your finger in your eye. You can touch a surface where somebody has left some virus, even up to several hours or days after the infectious droplets have landed there. And it can be transmitted in that fashion. So both of them, you know, similar mode of transmission, but different viruses. Also different in that the Spanish flu, unlike the usual flu, seemed to harness the strength of people's robust immune systems to wreak havoc on them. In other words, people with weak immune systems had less serious infections than people who had very strong normal immune responses. So you'd see young men and pregnant women die of this disease, which was kind of paradoxical. So usually the viral diseases winnow out the weak, the immunosuppressed. It appears the coronavirus is a little more like the traditional types of viruses that kind of go for the low-hanging fruit in terms of people who are immunocompromised. You know, people maybe who've had an organ transplant or chemotherapy. They're very young. You know, there was a case of an infant who died in China. And certainly, you know, past the age of 55 or 60 when the immune system tends to wane. But the Chinese ophthalmologist who was exposed to, I guess, a lot of patients caring for them in Wuhan, China, was a 30-something-year-old, you know, doctor, you know, maybe stressed, maybe sleep-deprived, maybe had a lot of viral load that he was exposed to because he was taking care of sick patients, and he died. So it's not, people with normal immune systems are not exempt from coronavirus. Is there a carryover of the immunity? Yeah, there's even some suggestion that maybe there's a generational carryover, you know, that if your grandparents had something, that maybe that'll confer some protection against, say, if the Spanish flu or something similar to it resurges in the 21st century, maybe there will be some immunity. But the problem is that no one from that era is alive anymore. You know, they're all dead. You know, there are very few World War II veterans who are alive, much less World War I veterans or people who are alive then. I mean, yeah, there's some people who are 100 and some years old, and maybe they had it as a child or as an infant, and they may still have some immunity to Spanish flu, but it's not going to do much against the coronavirus. It's not going to help them evade the current scourge. 877-726-8255 is our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. You can pose your questions. You can call in. Got lots more to talk about. We'll talk about whether supplements from China have the potential to transmit coronavirus when we return. This is Intelligent Medicine.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today, available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
To find the Kyolic formula right for you, go to Kyolic.com. That's KYOLIC.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number. And the question arises, and I'm sure some of you may be thinking about this. Let me answer it ahead of time. Can supplements from China transmit coronavirus? And, you know, the concern is that, unbeknownst to many of you, perhaps some of you know this, a lot of the ingredients used in dietary supplements come from China. They're cheap. They're manufactured in bulk. It's part of that, international economy where, yeah, you know, factories there produce stuff a lot cheaper than factories here. So invariably, some of the ingredients, a fairly high percentage of them, come from China. And this is a problem for the nutritional supplement industry because China, unfortunately, from a regulatory standpoint, is a bit of a free fire zone. And so manufacturers that I know of, they tell me of supply chain problems from China because they've got to really very, very carefully test the products for purity, for adulteration, for the presence of fillers like melamine, dangerous plasticizer substance, even the presence of lead, mercury, formaldehyde, bacterial contamination. All these are very carefully checked for before a Chinese ingredient goes in your product. And by the way, you know, it's a mixed bag. Some of the products from China are fabulous quality and you can't beat the price. And so manufacturers source from China. But because of the slowdown in China, there may actually be some bottlenecks in production of certain products. I haven't talked to people from the supplement industry in a couple of months, but I will be meeting with many of them in a few weeks here in New York. They're all coming together for a big conference. And I'll ask them, you know, what's happening? Is there a potential problem? Because it is affecting electronics, parts and screens for iPhones. They're having to scramble to find alternative sources because, frankly, some of the factories in China, they're slowing down or some cases completely shut down. But the question is, can I get the new coronavirus from supplements from China? And here's an official ruling on this notion from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. They say, quote, in general, because of poor survivability of these coronaviruses on surfaces, there's likely very low risk of spread from products or packaging that are shipped over a period of days or weeks at ambient temperatures. Now, it is true that if somebody sneezes on a surface or into a phone receiver and they have the coronavirus, you better be careful. You know, don't touch that surface and then, you know, stick your finger in your nose, your eye. That's a mode of transmission, possibly for a few hours, even up to a couple of days on those surfaces. But when it comes to products, they say Currently, there's no evidence to support transmission of 2019 coronavirus associated with imported goods, and there have not been any cases of 2019 coronavirus in the United States associated with imported goods, which is good because, you know, supplements, just the tip of the iceberg, they're all kind of products from China that pour into our ports, our airports, in cargo containers, on a daily basis. And if we completely stop that down for fear that these inert objects carried coronavirus, we would have a real major economic dislocation. So currently it's about people transiting from country to country, not goods transiting from country to country. There's little to be concerned on that front. But, you know, make sure that the supplements you take are from reputable companies, which do the due diligence to make sure that the products are clean. There's more concern about contamination and adulteration and, you know, shoddy production. And this is happening a lot, by the way, with medications. The latest Zantac problem. Zantac, you know, has been, some of the lots have been suspended because of contamination in the manufacturing of Zantac. That's an over-the-counter acid blocker. And part of the problem is that they sourced materials from China with impurities that may be carcinogenic. It's not just supplements, folks. It's also a very high percentage of the medications you take. Their active ingredients or constituents are made in China. Yeah. All right. This item, do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? Well, here's a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals. It's liquid turmeric liposome complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. It's sourced and manufactured in the United States, which is reassuring these days. This product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, thus significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216. Or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's Future Farm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number. And this item comes to us from Israel. Headline, Israel to discontinue fluoridation of tap water. Their health minister, Yael German, has decreed that Israel will no longer fluoridate its water after last Tuesday, discontinuing the practice. And it's actually a controversial decision. They say that as the health minister ends the program, 5.3 million residents will lose this controversial additive. And it is controversial. Israel originally mandated water fluoridation in 1970 for large population centers. It had successfully fluoridated 70% of the public's water supply. In 2013, after Yael German was appointed health minister, she announced her plans to end public fluoridation once and for all. She pushed back against a wave of backlash from public health experts and government officials, by the way, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who was pro-fluoridation. German acknowledged that the naturally occurring element is beneficial in preventing dental decay, but strongly defended her position in a letter to a medical group, writing that doctors have told me that fluoridation may harm pregnant women, people with thyroid problems, and the elderly. She added that fluoridation is an infringement on personal rights, and furthermore, unreasonable considering that only 2% of tap water is used for drinking. Okay. So, and there are people in Israel who, you know, health practitioners who are pro-fluoridation, but, you know, as with the situation here, it's controversial because fluoride is a known neurotoxin. It has endocrine disrupting effects, particularly on the thyroid. And too much fluoride can actually backfire and cause dental fluorosis, which is a mottling, unattractive mottling and weakening of the teeth, of the tooth surface. So, interestingly, there are more and more countries across the world who are rescinding their programs of fluoridation. And certain municipalities, certain localities in the U.S. Are now discontinuing it. And this is after, it must be like 50 years that we've incorporated it here in America, in many parts of the country. And there's been a constant drumbeat of concern about fluoridation. And finally, Israel, literally one of the most advanced scientific and medical countries in the world, has banned fluoridation. And I think we in the United States, we need to take another look at what the long-term effects of all that fluoride is doing, especially for our kids. Is it really worth it for the potential benefits of protecting our kids' teeth? Yeah, that is a big concern. But are there other ways that are safer, low-risk methods of safeguarding our populace from dental caries? 877-726-8255 is our number, and we'll take more of your calls in just a moment here on Intelligent Medicine.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands, why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary, drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, three stand out which help support gastric health and offer digestive support: GI Guard AM, GI Guard PM, and Peppermint Oil GI. Numerous clinical studies have demonstrated that these products can help to support GI health and promote gastric comfort. They help maintain the integrity of the stomach lining and its proper immune responses to the typically harsh gastric environment. Their ingredients are backed by solid scientific data. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. This week, Rush Limbaugh, veteran broadcaster, shocked his listeners by announcing on air that he was suffering from, quote, advanced lung cancer. Rush Limbaugh is 69, which is uncomfortably close to my age of 67. Also, in a sense, we're kindred spirits because we both started broadcasting on radio the same year, 1988. And so, you know, lightning strikes close. It's a little scary. So, you know, let's take a look at what are the prospects for Rush Limbaugh, and what is about to be undertaken on his behalf? He announced that he's going to undergo treatment at an unspecified location. And so what type of treatment is going to be offered for advanced lung cancer? And is there any prospect for survival or recovery from advanced lung cancer in 2021? You know, obviously he's a celebrity patient. They're going to go full court press. What are some of the options? Well, certainly he is likely to undergo surgery, you know, which is first line treatment for this, although there is such a thing as inoperable lung cancer. It's spread so pervasively that they don't bother to excise it because, it's not going to stop it. There's also radiation therapy, which is getting better and better at pinpointing cancer, less invasive. And then there's traditional chemotherapy, which is not really a slam dunk, to put it mildly, for most lung cancers. It can cure lung cancer. I'm sure there some of you out there may be listening who say, no, I had lung cancer and I got chemotherapy and I'm a long-term survivor. But that's more the exception than the rule. The new breakthrough on the lung cancer front is the advent of what are called checkpoint inhibitors, which are forms of immunotherapy. They harness the body's own immune system to target the cancer. This is a little more subtle way of dealing with cancer, because people who are disparaging of conventional cancer therapies refer to it as slash burn poison. You know, surgery being slash, radiation being burn, and chemo being poison. It's kind of hyperbolic, but there's something to it, is that these treatments are not very precise. They can be deleterious, immunosuppressive, and ultimately not that effective. So the new treatments include drugs with exotic names like Opdivo and Keytruda and a couple of others. And what's interesting is that you're starting to see TV commercials for these medications. Now, I see this stuff on TV and go, how many people are watching TV with advanced lung cancer? And they say, great, I'm going to tell my doctor about this treatment. But the economics behind these commercials is that these drugs are very expensive. So if there's maybe three or four people watching, you know, on a show that maybe a couple hundred thousand people are watching on cable TV, that's going to be a bonanza for the pharmaceutical company, because these drugs, without subsidies, can cost up to $150,000 a year. And they have a lot of side effects. They can sometimes overstimulate the immune system, causing the body to attack itself. And there's a real kind of meltdown syndrome that occurs when these are harnessed at high doses inappropriately. Or even appropriately, it's unforeseen that some people get very severe reactions to these medications. Fatigue is a common effect of these medications, much like chemotherapy. They are of only limited efficacy in advanced lung cancer. For example, with one drug, Opdivo, there is a 16% 5-year survival if you take Opdivo versus a mere 4% survival with conventional chemotherapy alone. So, and that's not to say that they're not outliers, that the prospects for Rush are necessarily dismal, because, you know, relatively young individual, strong individual, he may withstand types of therapy that other frailer individuals would not. And so he has a fighting chance. And I'm sure that these checkpoint inhibitors may figure in a comprehensive treatment plan for Rush. And, you know, love him or hate him, he's a very important radio broadcaster. And We wish him well in his effort to beat a very, very challenging disease. Working out can blunt your appetite. You know, this is something that I employ sometimes. You know, I get up and I'm sort of, you know, doing this, my chores, and it takes a while before I'm ready to go to the gym. And by then, sometimes I'm hungry. But I know that if I simply overmaster it and exercise for an hour or so, my hunger is going to go away, because it's hard to be hungry while you're exercising at an intense level. And a new study from Drexel University says that exercise can be a protective factor in a study where participants in a weight loss program who were following a reduced-calorie diet engaged in exercise. And what they found is that exercise was protective against overeating. Well, you know, for one thing, it's hard to overeat if you're exercising. You know, you plan to exercise, you're not going to have a big, big, big lunch or breakfast. For every 10 minutes of exercise a participant engaged in, the likelihood of overeating decreased by 1% in the few hours following exercise. So exercise not only it's good for you, burn some calories, but it also can help overcome those cravings that beset you as you try to maintain adherence to your New Year's resolutions. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255. In our next hour, we got lots of time to answer your questions, so call us. And we're going to talk about a common procedure that women undergo for heavy periods, which can go awry. Also, a blood test that can identify your likelihood of dying. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.